Hallelujah. Of course, I have to say this, Jesus has come. But look, what I'm going to talk about today, some of you may get excited, some of you may be needing to repent. Others may just need to be listening and learning from the word of the Lord. So it's not me you're learning from. Remember that. I'm just a steward of this ministry. I'm just a man like anybody else. I sin sometimes, I'm imperfect, but you know what? Jesus is there for me, and His grace is sufficient when I do, but I try not to. And the reason why I try not to is because I try to walk in the Spirit so that I will not be led by the flesh. So anyways, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, and we're going to go from here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that's in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. Guys, I'm telling you right now, I'll try to tell you this. Every video that I do when the Lord has me do these, I tell you, first of all, take it to prayer. Take it to the Lord. This is just, you know, what He gave me. This is something that was on my heart. And it's been on my heart for quite a while, and now it's just come together, and bam, it's here. So I'm just going to keep on going. But I'm going to show you something, guys. This really is, some of you may be upset by this picture, but I'm going to tell you what. This picture shows the truth, okay? There's a famine going on, and this picture tells a story of its own, okay? This is was taken in 1993, from what I understood, a photo by South African photographer Kevin Carter, showing a young Sudanese girl with a vulture perched near her. The iconic image captured public attention by focusing on the plight of children during a time of famine there. So this picture won a Pulitzer Prize, but also precipitated an avalanche of criticism. And here's why. Although Carter scared the vulture away, he did not carry the girl to the nearby food station. So the fate of the girl remains unknown, unfortunately. But that's famine, and it's happening all over the world. But I just, you know, Lord, prepare my mouth and my heart to speak your words again to those who have ears to hear it. The word tells us that in the last days there will be famine. But too many are looking for a food famine, okay? But the Lord is telling me about today is another famine in the word, and I'm going to share that with you, the hearer. Okay, so we're already seeing that in our food supply. If we go back to being carnal and not in the spirit, as I'm going to get there. But there's another famine I want to talk to you about, and it's not just food. So right now, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a severe famine going on throughout the whole world. So yes, some are indeed in a famine now. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, if you ask me, this has been happening. But I want to read this to you. I want you guys to understand what I'm showing you is the truth. I don't lie. I have no reason to lie, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with that. So, what I'm going to read to you, see if you can, in the spirit, what I'm about to point out, which is three words said three times in this next frame here that I'm going to go to as soon as I get my mouse to work right. I don't like your mouse, Kath. Anyways, John chapter 21, verse 14 to 17. Read along with me if you will, and if you can. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you." Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, did you notice what was in there? Let me see. Number one, feed my lambs. Okay. Feed my sheep and feed my sheep. So right now, many so-called Christians are starving and they do not even know it. But I'm not talking about the natural man, but the spirit man. And I want to explain that to you, the difference between the natural man and the spirit man, because a lot of people don't understand this. So let's go to the natural man first. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So when I look at this scripture, okay, those who are operating in the natural man are operating on human wisdom. They have no real understanding of the Bible. And I've been there, because when I first came to the Lord, I didn't understand anything before that time. I tried to read the Bible, didn't understand anything from it. I was like, man, this is, I don't get it. I'll talk about a bunch of names of people. You know, I happen to be reading Chronicles. But anyways, I'm like, I got to Chronicles, I stopped. I'm like, I don't get it. I gave up. Okay, well, that's because I was carnal. And I was looking to my own wisdom to figure out things, okay? So people who are a part of the natural man, they put their confidence in the flesh. They have no real understanding of the Bible. They're glorifying themselves. They're speaking from their bellies. And most times you'll find that their jealousy is involved in there, their strife and their contentions. And they lead people away from the Lord's true servants and are lifted up with pride. I call these, as the word says, carnal. They're carnality. It's a carnality. They're ruled by their own passions and their own desires. And they will not have the proper equipment to see spiritual truths to give to those who need to hear them. And because of this, they will lead others away from the true Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to get there. Just bear with me here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But Matthew 15:14, you know, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees in our day and age. And Pharisees are still in the midst of many churches throughout the world. But we see this, you know, in Matthew 15:14, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And, you know, that's what's happening in today's churches. And I'm going to speak up a little bit about that in a moment. But I'm going to turn to Matthew again in chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. "So Jesus spoke to them and brought offense to them, saying, 'You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me.'" Let me turn this page here. "They worship me in vain. They teach as doctrine the precepts of men." Precepts, sorry. So, you know, we now know what the natural man is. Okay, and we can see that, you know, but I want to take a look at what the spiritual man is. So some of you already know what I'm talking about, and you'll understand this. But the spirit man is the one who has confidence in God. They glorify God and show humility and have no confidence in the flesh. They seek God and spiritual things, submitting to God, resisting the devil, and purifying their heart. This is where we need to be, you know. So, and of course, I'm slow on the hit of the button there. But the spirit man, okay, seeks the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually." The spirit man submits to God and resists the devil. James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." Now, I'm sure that some of you already know there's more. There's a lot more to this. I'm just kind of surmising this, okay? The spirit man seeks to purify their hearts. James 4:8, again, you know, "Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." The spirit man is led by God. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Look, guys, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, Well, it says it right there. You're not one of the sons or daughters of God. You know, so the spirit man is able to discern God's truth because the Holy Spirit reveals these truths to him or to her. They are in worship and they are devoted to God in all areas of their lives. You guys thought I was going to miss that, huh? Yeah. We know. We worship the Lord and we love him. He's awesome. They acknowledge and repent of unChristlikeness. Okay? We don't do things that are not Christ-like. When we do, we falter. The Holy Spirit convicts us and says, hey, you shouldn't be saying that. He shows us the light. He shows us the way, and we repent. And they seek to help and bless other people with their lives in hopes that they too will repent if they're living in the world, that is. So they go by the leading of God's Spirit, not by the leading of men. Okay? We do not go by the leading of men. We go by the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. So I want to turn to John chapter, 14:17, I had them mixed up here, so I'll read the first one. The Spirit of truth, whom the world is not able to receive because it does not see him nor know, but you know him, for he abides with you and he will be in you. This is what Jesus said, and that is a fact. You know, John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. So we want to hear from the Spirit of truth. We want to know what's going on at all times, because guys, this is not the time to be without the Spirit of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15 says, for such are false apostles. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about this, because this is what's going on in today's churches. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay? So, that is the difference between the natural man and a spiritual man. Okay? So, I just wanted to end that. From my heart to yours, to those who are walking in the Spirit of our Lord. The Word of God will feed your spirit man with what you need to survive in the Spirit in these end times. The Word of God is bread for your souls. And we see that when Jesus said it in John 6:35, right? He said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Guys, that is a fact. And that's not talking about carnally. That's not talking about food-wise. That's not talking about water-wise. But he'll feed you that way too, because he provides. He's your provider. But I want you to catch this, okay? He's the bread of life. You have a spirit man, right? Well, if your natural man eats, don't you think that your spirit man eats too? Well, we eat, but we eat the Word of God. You ever heard that in the Bible? It says, eat the Word, eat the scroll. So we eat the Word of God. We want to constantly be reading in the Word. So I'm going to get there too. So then, oh, I went too far. Uh-oh. Let's see here. So I'm telling you the truth, okay? As God bears witness by his Word, I am in line here, so I'm good. The Word of God tells us in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want some faith increase? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. But you want to read the whole Bible, because that increases my faith. To see what David did, just think about it. Instead of walking out onto the field, being in fear, he ran out onto the field, and he was not in fear. And he went and did what he said he was going to do. He's going to knock this giant down. Well, he did, okay? But that took faith. It took faith in God. So you want to increase your faith, don't just read the Bible itself, but go to Jesus, okay? Pray and ask him for his guidance by his Spirit. Call him, okay? Call him up. Say, hey, I'll give you his phone number right here, all right? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow, there's his number right there, guys. You got his number. Call upon him. He wants that. He wants to hear from you every day. If you're not doing this every day, you're stagnant. That's not a good place to be. you are obviously going to not be attacked as much because the devil doesn't focus his attention on those who are not walking in the spirit. And this is why I'm telling you this. If it's the love of God in my heart, is it tells me I gotta tell my brothers and sisters this. So this is why I tell you this. I want you to know now is not the time to be playing around and being carnal minded. Now is not the time to be in the world. Now is the time to come out of the world and be into the kingdom of God already. You know what? You could reach up and heaven right up there. You know, but you got to reach for it. You know, you can't just sit still and think that it's going to come to you. Okay. Which he does. You know, he tries to get you back. He doesn't want to lose anyone. He wants all come to repentance. Okay, so I'm going to go on here, but there's something very important here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Guys, there are people who preach on things such as flat earth, which I'm not going against it or for it, I'm just talking about it. There are people that preach that you can't eat meat, you only have to eat vegetables. Those, that's a different gospel, okay? It's something we don't, that's not a salvation issue. The salvation issue is when you ignore Jesus, okay? It's when you say, ah, I don't need Jesus. I got everything I'll ever need. I got four boats, got four houses, four cars, I got 16 airplanes, whatever. You know what? You got nothing, okay? Because if you don't have Jesus, you got nothing. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so this is why I'm telling you these things. This is the time we're in a season right now where we have to try the spirits, whether they are of God, guys. This is where we're at. Because there's a lot of them out there saying things that should not be said. I'm going to go into that too. So let's turn to this next frame here. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, this is John 6, verse 63. Now, this is what Jesus said. So they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits you nothing, right? Okay, we know this, guys. If you've read the Bible, you'll know this. But let's look at Jesus said in 1 Peter 1:16. I think it's 1 Peter 1:16. Check me on that, okay? Always check me on the things that I do, okay? For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So in order to be holy as he is holy, you must. I'm going to stress this word one more time. Must walk in the Spirit of God. You must be led by Him, and He'll guide you into light and not darkness, okay? So this is where, well, Lord knows. We're going to get into some rough waters ahead, but let me take a drink of this cider here. So, a lot of you know about this, some of you don't. But there's a false Holy Spirit, which is leading men to say it's okay to wear women's clothing as a man. It's okay to have preachers who are men who lay with women or with men and women with women. It's okay to have transgender men who are on the diving team, on the women's diving team. Guys, it is not okay. And it is of the devil. And I am telling you the truth as the Spirit of the Lord is with me. And I do not lie when he's around. I have lied, but I'm telling you right, I don't lie right now. I'm telling you the truth. This spirit has been introduced by witchcraft in the churches, which has steadily seduced ministers to preach another gospel, teaching that such things as abortion is okay, which that goes strictly against the word of God itself. Transvestites openly dancing in churches in America is a sign of preachers who are tolerating sin. They're preaching another gospel. Gospel of toleration. Satanic coloring books are passed around in our schools. Men showing their underwear in churches, you know, with their half pants half down. You know, this should not be, okay? But this is where we are at. And the worldly pastors are condoning it. God be their judge. So those who will hear, I tell you now, be strong in his word and write it on the tablets of your heart, because some of us may not have Bibles available to us anymore. It's coming. Eventually, they'll try to take all the Bibles from us. We will need to go into our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to bring everything back to remembrance. You know, so that's why I have these scriptures here that I live by. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hide the word in your heart. Believe me, the devil will come along and try to steal the word off your heart. There's a scripture on that. I'm not going to go there right now. I'm just telling you there is. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the biggest problem having to live in the world right now, but not of the world today, as a spirit-filled Christian, is seeing sin run rampant in the churches and outside of churches. It's everywhere. It's what I just explained to you because it allows other doctrines of devils to come in. Just another one off the top of my head, you know, would be what I kind of talked about, touch base with, which is the gospel of tolerance, okay? Which I spoke on briefly, like I said a moment ago. But God doesn't tolerate sin. And neither should we who call ourselves the children of God. Guys, this is not where we want to be. We want to be doing as the Holy Spirit tells us to do in boldness, not worried about what man will say or do against us, okay? So, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 comes up again. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I want to stress this. Their end is according to their works. And they're going to face God on this. I'm going to give you some scriptures at the end of this. If that's you, it's easy to repent, but you got to do it. Repentance means turn from it and don't go back to it, okay? Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, once again, I tell you this. God gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us in righteousness so that we will not do the things that the flesh wants. And if you're a child of God being led by the Spirit of our Lord, you will overcome sin. Because with temptation, God gives us the way of escape. You ever heard that scripture before? The Holy Spirit will lead you to the way of righteousness, but you must listen to him. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't cut him off and say, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to continue doing what I was doing. No, you need to turn to him when you're tempted, and you won't sin, because you'll have the way of escape, which I'm going to turn to that scripture. You know what? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, okay? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it that you may be able to bear it. So if you are walking along and you see this man and he rolls up to you and he says, hey, man, want to smoke a bowl of hashish with me? And you don't smoke hashish? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, first of all, you don't smoke hashish. He's going to say, you don't smoke hashish. You don't want that anyway. Secondly, he's going to say, you don't smoke. You don't want that. Thirdly, he's going to say, you don't take pharmakia, so you don't want that. So just walk away. That's it. That's the way of escape. He gave it to you. He said, walk away. Now, if you stay there and you try this out for the first time, you just sinned against God himself. It's not good. You just quenched the Holy Spirit. We're told not to. So, unfortunately, we live in a day when most believers think that a man is spiritual if he goes to church and he shows niceness to everyone. I'm going to talk about me for a second. I was once that man. I gave to people. I was nice. I went to church sometimes. And I even prayed with my family when they met for Thanksgiving for dinner as my grandma, who's a Mormon, led that prayer. I called myself a Christian because that's what my mom said, that we're a Christian family. And I was told that all I had to do was to believe in Jesus, and that's it. And I'll go to heaven. That's how I was taught. So I went on having relations with women who said they were Christians, two of which I had children with. I gave myself over to the women, the drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing, and I couldn't care less about anyone but myself. Very selfish, matter of fact. all up until I read one scripture that came and jumped out to me when I read the Bible one day. And I want to read that to you, okay? This know, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 4 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Guys, perilous times have been coming. Let me tell you. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at the children in Chicago, what they did. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, that was me. Traitors, heady, high-minded. That was me. And this one, underlined, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Man, was that scripture hit me so hard. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm all of those almost. Forgive me, I said. And it was just like a moment of time with the Lord that I said, forgive me, and it was done. I felt the Spirit of God come over me. And I cried so hard that night that the next morning when I crossed that same place in the carpet with my socks, my sock felt the wetness from the tears. But that was me. I loved pleasures more than God. I got convicted by what I was doing after I read that. It's the Word of God that came to me and showed me that as I read His Word that day. Because God Himself chased me down with His love for me. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're filled with His Spirit, you know what I'm talking about, praise God. His grace covered me. His mercy covered me. And I felt the love of God in my life. Now, I'm stressing this once again to the glory of my Father in heaven, but there are many out there who will give people what they want to hear. Guys, I'm not one of those. I have to do what He says, not what men tell me to do. I had a man ask me if I wanted to be a mega church pastor. You know what I told him? If God permitted it, if that's what God wants, then I will do so. He called me again about a month later. You want to do that? No, I don't. God did not call me to do that. I could have been a mega church pastor, had all this money, probably 4 cars like the mother preachers. You know what? I don't need that. I need more of God. I don't need anything. I could live in a tent and I'll be fine. So I just want you guys to know that I give you what you need to hear as led of the Lord to do so. So I can see you when it's time to meet together with the Lord in spirit. So back to this great famine going on, okay? The Word of God shows us what's happening right now. I'm going to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 2 says, now the Spirit expressly states that in latter times, some will abandon the faith to follow deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, influenced by the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with the hot iron. All right, so this is where, you know, I'm just going to be honest. Here comes the rapids, okay? There are many preachers out there living in fear for their lives when the Word of God tells us not to live in fear. So, Lord, again, once I asked you to prepare my mouth and my heart to speak your words to those who will have ears to hear it. Hallelujah. So this is a fact. Many of you calling yourselves ministers have so much fear in you that you can't possibly preach the truth. You suppress the truth very well. And if that's you, you may want to hear what the Lord is saying next, okay? So stay with me here. Let's turn to the Word of God again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. There you have it. So why would you fear anything? You shouldn't. The scripture I've read to you is where you need to be every day in the Lord. You need to trust Him. Have you not read the Word of God? Now, I went to the Berean Study Bible on this, okay? Now, this is Revelations 18:23. I'm going to go to this a little bit early because I forgot that I was doing something else here, it looks like. Yep, I did. But anyways, actually, let me stop there, and just you can read that if you want, but I'm going to stop there in Ephesians 4, 10 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, again, that's Ephesians 4, 10 through 13. So you can look that up. Always look up what I'm telling you. Don't just trust a preacher, okay? Because preachers can be wrong, but the word of God never comes back void. So you notice the last part of that scripture in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yet many of you who are calling yourselves apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers have sent people right to hell. You continue to do so in fear of what man will do to you if you tell them the truth, such as, you're a man, not a woman. Wear man's clothing. Okay? I'm not afraid to tell somebody that. I'll tell them. The Lord leads me to. Many of you told people to get the CV-19 and to trust the government instead of telling them to trust the Lord over pharmakia, which is witchcraft, sorcery. Take full note of what I just said just right now, because you know what? Some of you are going, whatever, I'm not going to listen to this guy anymore. And that's fine. You don't have to listen to me, but you should listen to the word of God, which I'm pointing out Revelation 18, 23. All right. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. And the voices of a bride and bridegroom will never call out in you again. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, because all nations were deceived by your sorcery. Do you notice the word of God says sorcery? So notice the word of God says all the nations were deceived by it. What are nations? People, right? We're not talking about country. We're talking about nations. Those are people. But let me take it further, as I do not want you to believe me, but to believe the word of God, so we can see this. But let's go further. So if you look here, this is what Strong's verse or sorcery talks about, sorcery on the bottom. I've already underlined that. Strong's 5331 says magic, sorcery, enchantment, pharmakia, medication. It's magic. So why are we trusting someone who's telling us we should take this as a mandatory thing? I don't remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bowing down to an idol. So why should we have bowed down to magic or this medication or pharmakia? We shouldn't have. But there are preachers out there who are teaching it. Yet the word of God gives us in Ezekiel 47:12. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of all kinds will grow. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Pay attention to this. Their fruit will be used for food and their leaves for healing. God is our healer. He's the great physician, not man. Psalm 103:3 says, he forgives all your iniquity and heals all your disease. Does it say some? No, all. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with the loving devotion and compassion. You should have a joyful heart. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And I know some of you probably have had some pretty hard times and had them broken bones. Dries up those bones. But we want to have joy, unspeakable joy. And the only place you're going to get that is if you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, because he gives us joy. So here's it. I'm just going to say this. Ministers, pastors, preachers, apostles, evangelists, prophets, I'm telling you right now, listen, because you need to hear this. I'm going to expose, I'm exposing some of you watching this right now with love and the light of Jesus Christ now, as these things are holding you back from preaching the truth. Number one, you fear what people say or will say against you if you tell too much truth. Now that's one of you. Number two, there's those ministers out there who fear losing people because the money will suddenly go away. You've been gathering for yourself. Now there's another one too. Now this falls on one and two. The biggest reason is that you do not fear God. And I'm being very, very blunt with this. And if you heard me, repent now and know this, that God loves you and He will forgive you if you truly turn away from those things. You have to know this. I had to tell you this, and I did so with the love of God. But you should have known. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Hebrews 13:6 says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" I wouldn't be afraid of what man can do to you. I'd be afraid of the one who can send your spirit, soul, and body to hell. This is what it was spoken of by Jesus. But let's go to Psalm 146:3. "Put not your trust in princes, in mortal man who cannot save you." The only one able to save you is Jesus Christ. All right. "There will be many who call themselves ministers of the gospel, but they preach another gospel, and because of that, they are accursed. And this is a warning from the Lord to turn to Him and repent." This is the scriptures I told you earlier I was going to give you guys. This is what you need to hear. Luke chapter 6, 45-46 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I'm telling you to do?" Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, but didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name we drove out demons. We performed many miracles. I saw a man's leg grow in front of me." And Jesus will say, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, because your heart was not right with him. You were hesitant not to sin against him." Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be under a curse." Is that what you really want? You want to be under a curse? Because that's where you stay. That's where you stand. And the Lord is coming, okay? This is why I say this. You hear me say it all the time. Jesus is coming! Hallelujah, because I know he is. You can't tell me he's not coming, because he's coming. I don't know the day nor the hour or the second, but I know one thing, he's close. So, get right with Jesus today. Have you been watching for him? Good question. Matthew 24:42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." That is, if he is your Lord. Are you ready? That's a good question. Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes," he's coming. For some of us, Romans 8:22-23, praise the Lord, hallelujah, "we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until the present time. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And it's drawing closer, guys. It's drawing closer, hallelujah. So in conclusion, to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is a famine spread throughout the world. I'm just going to say this plain strictly. There's a famine spread throughout the world. Hear it, guys. A famine so intense, it's giving over souls to hell. It's called lack of truth and fear. It is not because of censorship coming from the world, but from the mouths of those who preach the word of God. Get right with Jesus right now. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Please share this video. Hopefully that it'll get one person to turn from his sins and come back so that we can see him together with us when we go to be with the Lord in the air. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!